Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show. I seem to be listening to everything twice there for some reason. It sounded like it was doubled up. And I can actually hear myself talking. How strange. Seems to be an echo. Why is that? I'm so confused right now. I don't know what that hand signal means, but anyway, welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. Thanks for choosing us. I'll have to turn myself down because I can hear myself talking in my own ear. Today's show, I'm going to be talking about paranormal tales and current events, and I'm going to be talking about some subjects that were posted on the Broken Earth Radio Facebook page. Now, I presume the sound is working okay because I can hear the feedback coming to me. So please sit back, open your minds, and enjoy the show.
Just
Hey, everybody. It's Nunu, and welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. We have a lot of things to talk about today, and we also have quite a few people in the queue, so if anybody is looking for a reading, make sure that you get in the line so that we don't miss you. Just so you'll know, our format, if it's the first time that you're calling in, we do, you know, talk about some things first, and lately we've been also coming across a question that we propose to our callers, and then if there's anything like a simple sample reading you have, then we do it at that point. The first caller we're going to be taking is at 724, so just hang tight. However, I put in the room, I put a link in there. There is also, if anybody wants to go to the Facebook page, you know, we have some topics that we're going to be discussing, but there's a link that I put in the room about reincarnation, and basically this is what this story is about. There's a story about, it actually went mainstream, about a boy who vividly remembers a previous incarnation of being a soldier in World War II, and he also remembers how he died. Now, from the information provided, it's very, I mean, you know, it's I'm not going to say that we can't deny it, but it being true, but, you know, just watch it or listen to the story or whatever and just see how you feel. But it's really interesting how people see and understand that the current life that we're living is not the only one we have ever had or ever will have. And it's interesting, too, because this is something that actually has become almost kind of accepted. When I talk to my callers, you know, I never... If anybody ever, first off, if anybody ever asks me about someone who's on the other side, I always tell them that I don't ever want to, you know, step on anyone's feet on their ideas of afterlife or their ideas. I mean, you know, basically my job is to just kind of give information and then you just kind of see how you want to act with it or use it. But basically there's a lot of people from many different walks of life, for many different belief systems that actually do believe in reincarnation. But anyway, there are key points in the clip of how he was, how he remembers being a soul, how he also feels like he chose the family that he incarnated with. And it also, he's also talking about how we choose everything for our greater good, so that we can grow and move forward in our soul evolution. And the soul has no judgment towards experiences such as the family that it chooses to incarnate through, because it has a choice. Now, if you don't believe in reincarnation, that's totally cool. If you do, here is like a story that you should just check it out. And not only in this story, what makes it so interesting is that here's this little kid who's talking, but there are also people that they were able to track down through the information that the child gave. And he remembers names and dates. And unless he's just really rehearsed, you know what I mean? But anyway, it's, you know, just check it out. And I posted the link in the room. And it's also on our Facebook page as well. There's also a story, you know, I'm trying to, like, the show that we did the other day, which was overnight, discussed a little bit about Tamiris. And it's in the archives, and it's also posted on the page if anybody wants to check it out. But these are some stories that I'm looking for or sometimes run across about, you know, women who do extraordinary things or who have done extraordinary things, even though the Tamiris story is something that happened, you know, I believe it was, I can't remember, I think it was like 500 B.C. It wasn't B.C. or A.D. Anyhow, it was you know, still such, I've just totally forgot the information. But anyway, you can check that out. But there is, this is something that we're not really sure if this is true or not, but it's the story of the white tights. And this is something that's more local. If you've ever, I can't really say their name, I can't really say the name of that it's translated from, but basically, they're sniper women who are dropped into the middle of a raging war zone, and then they just completely go nuts, and they always wear white. And this is, and I really don't want to read this whole story out just because there's so much to it, but if you're interested in just, you know, stories like this, check it out. It's called The White Tights. You can even Google it. But I'm just kind of like just sharing a little bit about some of the things that I've posted. But this particular story, I knew that I wasn't going to exactly read out because there's some others that are really important. But I just think that this is kind of fun to check out. And even on the page, they have some pictures, not of the people, but of like basically, I think it looks like it's a video game. But anyway, they're supposed to be real. And they are, I don't believe that they're actually Russian. I believe that they're probably like Nordic. I believe that they're Nordic or they're, you know, rumored to be Nordic. But anyway, they just go nuts on people and just, I guess they kill them to death in a bunch of different ways. Anyway, that's just something that's just kind of interesting. But one of the main things we wanted to kind of get to is about a UK man who actually won his court case against BBC for 9/11 World Trade Center 7 cover-up. And basically, Tony Rook refused to pay a TV license fee because the BBC intentionally misrepresented facts about the 9/11 attacks, he alleged. Now, it is widely known that the BBC reported the collapse of the World Trade Center Building 7 over 20 minutes before it actually happened. And the World Trade Center 7 was a 47-story skyscraper that was not hit by a plane on 9/11, but collapsed at free-fall speed later that day. So Rook said the BBC had to have had prior knowledge to a terror attack, making them complicit in the attack. And he represented the BBC footage to the judge along with a slew of other evidence, and the judge agreed that Rook had a reasonable case to protest. Rook was found not guilty, and he was not fined for failure to pay the licensing fee. Now, for all intents and purposes, the UK court has just ruled that the BBC was complicit in the September 11, 2001 attacks in the United States. Fantastic. A small victory, but a huge symbolic victory, and one you would have never otherwise have heard of. So, basically, look it up, and there's also some video on here about it, but is there anything that you wanted to say, Bill, about that?
Yeah, like I said, I don't think, you know, the reporters now were in on the conspiracy. It's just because the press release came out too early. The reports, you know, that's given to pretty much the news stations. I mean, you've seen the video. I'll see if we get a post on the Facebook page about how the news has the same script as all the other channels.
Right.
You know, so I mean, it's just somebody higher up who released the information too early. You know, 20 minutes too early. So, yeah, but, you know, it's worth checking out.
Yeah. And remember, just you know, read it for the information, see how you feel. But that was something that was kind of a big deal for you know, this guy and the people that he works with. Also, one of the stories that that's come out on the 22nd, Fukushima doom confirmed, France hit by iodine 131 cloud while new radiation plume expected to hit west coast of America on Tuesday. So,
I think it's already hit the west coast.
It already did it? Okay, well.
Yeah, well, there's this picture somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's come to quite a lot of the area, you know, the spread, and it goes right from Japan all the way to the west coast, you know.
Okay.
And it's all deformed. Animals and vegetables and things can be found across Canada and, you know, Alaska.
Well, basically, the story says a cloud of iodine 131 has reached France, while the recent 5.3 Fukushima earthquake is sending a new radiation plume around the world, according to a recent story from Bobby One's blog. The latest plume is expected to arrive on the west coast of America Tuesday, today, with radiation now spreading across the entire northern hemisphere and no end in sight. And there's two videos on here that confirm the severity of this ongoing doomsday situation. Remember, not trying to create fear, everybody, just giving this information to you. An earthquake that rocked Japan just south of the Fukushima area shortly after midnight on September the 20th, Japan time, sent a new plume of radiation across the Pacific Ocean. Apparently, radiation measurements in this area have temporarily spiked. This new plume would hit today. Previous earthquakes have also generated plumes. There was also one on January the 1st, 2012, and the quake was really bad. Now, any people on the West Coast, California area, you know, if you're experiencing anything odd. I remember this is something that happened years ago to me. And because I remember everybody in the family was looking at my face going, oh my gosh, what's going on with her? I was getting this, it was right after one of the space shuttles launched, when they used to really make a big deal about showing them. I was like in the fifth grade, and I had this red circle on my face. You couldn't feel it. You could just see it. And it was on my chin. And I believe it was, I can't remember if it was on the left or the right side, but the thing is that made that particular situation strange is that my mother had one in the same spot that she's had for a long time, and one of my uncles had one too. And everybody in the family was like, she's getting that mark on her face, and they were all just staring and looking, but the thing is that it went away. But it happened after one of the space shuttles launched. That was something that was kind of noted.
Mm.
And, you know, my mother did grow up in an area where they sprayed, they used to, like, go into, I mean, this did not actually happen to her, but just she grew up in an area where, like, when they were talking about spraying, and people would come to the classrooms and say, see, this is safe, they would actually spray the kids to show you just how safe it was. But go on.
Also, to mention about Fukushima, the typhoon hit there recently. And then the TEPCO had to drain 1,130 tons of rainwater into the sea, radiated rainwater. So that's going to add to the problem as well.
Right.
1,130 tons, really. We did actually talk about Fukushima in the second to last show. If you want to go back and listen to a bit more about it, some Fukushima facts that you may not know.
If anybody's having a problem streaming, like a streaming issue listening, just refresh your page and you should be returned to the show in progress. This is something that just is a banner that's just flying across the screen, just so you guys know. And that's something that I'll announce intermittently in the program. And Hold on. One of the things that I also wanted to talk about, I've got to find it, though. This day in history, you know, there's a lot of different, sometimes, you know, you'll look through history and you'll find interesting things to, that was going on at this day in history. And today was actually the trial of the Chicago Seven in history. Basically, this is, you know, just to give you a little short narrative, because I want to keep everybody kind of enthralled. This was a trial of political activists accused of inciting riots during the Democratic National Convention of 68. And it attracted national attention and exposed the depths of political and cultural divisions of a crucial moment in the nation's history. The trial of the Chicago Seven became a defining event in public debates about the Vietnam War, the student protest movement, and the fairness of the federal judicial process. The defendants and their attorneys used the courtroom as a platform for broad critique of American society and an almost anarchic challenge to the legitimacy of governmental authority. The judge in the case displayed open contempt for the defendants, and his own unorthodox behavior threatened public confidence in the system. The nearly five-month-long trial illustrated the contentious and often theatrical nature of public affairs during the late 60s and the early 70s. So basically, the judge was Judge Hoffman, and he had been on the federal bench since 53, where he was appointed by Eisenhower. And it's, you know, basically the verdict that came down, for all the apparent mess in the courtroom, Judge Hoffman issued no contempt orders until the argument phase closed. Then, while the jury deliberated, the judge cited the defendants and their attorneys for 159 counts of criminal contempt and sentenced them to prison terms ranging from less than 3 months for Lee Weiner to more than 4 years for Kunstler. Some of the convictions were for courtroom outbursts and profanities, and many were for laughter, and others were based on the refusal of a defendant to rise as the judge entered or left the courtroom. The attorneys were repeatedly convicted of contempt for persisting in offering motions or challenging a ruling of the judge. The disparities in the sentences surprised many of the courtroom observers. Abby Hoffman received a much shorter sentence for the cited instances of sarcasm and personal insults than Tom Hayden received for his challenges to the judge's procedural decision. And after 5 days of deliberation, the jury on February 19th acquitted all seven defendants of conspiracy and acquitted Freund and Weiner of all charges. The judge found the five defendants, other than those two, guilty of traveling between states with the intent to incite a riot. And then the judge imposed the maximum sentence of 5 years in prison on each of the defendants found guilty. And in separate proceedings in the Northern District of Illinois, a jury acquitted seven of the eight indicted policemen. And the case against the eight was dropped. Those are the cops. Their situation was dropped. But anyway, there's, you know, some people may know about it, but basically it was one of those things where, you know, they had to go back for appeals and all that over time. And eventually everything was dropped, I believe. But anyway, that's basically, you know, where in history we were. Years ago. How many years ago? It started in, it was in 68. That's when the convention was. So, I mean, it's, I don't know if we've even come very far. What do you think?
Probably not. So they were found guilty for, suspicion on wanting to create riots.
Yeah. But the thing is that the jury was saying that they didn't find them guilty. But the judge was doing stuff to them when the jury was away deliberating to make sure that something happened to them.
So you're 5 years.
Yeah. And so after 5 days of deliberation. But anyway, I guess the question that we want to propose to people when they're calling in is if they believe that we've really come anywhere in time, really. Has anything really, really, truly changed? I bet, you know what, I bet like maybe 7 or 8 years ago people might say yes. But now I wonder how people feel, you know? So this is a little political. It's not necessarily extremely spiritual, the question, but it still is spiritual in a sense that, you know, we have to rely upon our faiths or just, you know, our spirituality to cope. This is one of those times where we do have to use these things to cope. But anyhow, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to the caller at 724. Remember, everybody, if you're having streaming issues, just refresh your page, and you'll be brought right back to the show. The Blog Talk Radio people know that there's some issues going on, and Eclipsian is saying greetings and hello to you, Eclipsian. It's been a little while. But we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to take our caller. And if anybody wants to call us, remember, the number is 347-215-8421, and this is the Broken Earth Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is my winter song. Part of me wants to say we're growing, and the other part of me wants to say we're sort of staying the same.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Maybe we're moving
yeah.
ahead in some areas, and then in some areas we're not really moving.
Yeah, it's...
There's an underlying issue that's not really being addressed.
You know, there's a part of me that also kind of wonders, Missy, if it's, honestly, if it's just the nature of the beast.
Mm.
You know, if it's just how people are, period. You know, we have this ideology, you know, we want to be idealists. We
mm-hmm.
have ideas. You know, we want to be these well-rounded, well-thought-out people, but then
right.
you've got this undercurrent of fear of,
mm.
you know, people that want to retain something that they understand or something that makes them feel safe,
mm-hmm.
and so they refuse to grow, and, you know, like I said, like maybe 8 years ago we would have said, oh, yeah, we're changed, everything's better now, but now there's so many things that are just going backward, where, I mean,
I mean,
and not even just in the sense of, like, medicine, you know, how we're trying, because it's, we don't really trust medicine anymore, we don't really trust that form of science completely, because it's become so motivated by money. So we're starting
mm.
to go back to, you know, putting honey on our wounds and eating garlic.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're going
yeah.
back to stuff like that. But then you've also got people that are, you know, hoarding weapons and you know, just, you know, don't want their kids to be a part of society. You know, don't want them to be citizens. You know, but anyway, I don't want it to get dark, but the question is kind of dark, but I just wanted to see, you know, from, you know, other people's point of views, if, because some people may actually still, I mean, you know, I've been accused of being Pollyanna-ish, you know, of trying to find the bright side and everything, but, you know, in some instances, you just have to sit and look at it and just say, oh my gosh, you know, it's not any different. We thought it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, is there anything else you wanted to add about that? Because I kind of took the stage and I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. I think you're like, I agree with you. I feel like, I think the core of the issue is that a lot of us aren't being authentic and we are living out of fear. So, of many things. So that's, I feel like that's what creates all this other stuff.
Yeah. Well, if you had, you know, one question to ask today, to put out to the universe to receive an answer, what is your question?
Well, my question is about, which I've talked to you before. It's just about my love life and what the future. But what do you see for the future of my love life? And
hold on. Let's
sure.
See. Are you guys splitting up?
I wonder which you mean, well, I'm not in a relationship at the moment, but I wonder if it's, I'm not sure if you're speaking of my ex-husband or somebody that I had spoken to with you before. So I'm not with my ex-husband,
well,
but
see, this is the deal, because I usually try to get the question more grounded than that.
Oh, okay.
But
I can ask
the
question more grounded, but.
Actually, I kind of like this spread because it's very, very simple. It's basically telling you that there are some things that you have been putting your time into, and right now it's not working.
Okay.
And so, you're going to be entering into a point where it looks like there's going to be some back and forth and back and forth, and then the spread stops. It just stops. And it says to think about scissors, to think about cuts. And then there's another card here that's called rejection. Everything starts to kind of go a little bit negative here, but all of a sudden things start getting more positive when you actually start focusing less on the friendship connection that you have or just this bond connection that you have with this person and more on business or just what it is that you guys are successful with. Because I'm going to give you a time period. It looks like it's around November. It says that if you just sort of switch your strategy up, because there is a person here, it says if you switch your strategy up and put your energy into business, put your energy into working, put your energy into less of feelings and all that kind of stuff, this is where it kind of seems like there's a wall that goes up between you guys, and then he starts to try to knock that wall down, and this is how you actually have progression. And I hope that makes sense.
Wow. What? Okay. So just so I can understand this, even though you...
Okay.
So if I... What it kind of sounds like you're saying to me is that the life coaching I've been ignoring, I mean, even though I know I need to keep moving with it, and think less of him and kind of just let him go.
Right.
And you're saying, what will happen? I'm sorry.
What will start happening is there's this wall. There's this wall that I think that you've been trying. See, Missy, I see you as this person that has been really wanting you know, ever since that you've divorced and you've let all these things go, you know,
mm-hmm.
you've been trying to change your life. You want to find a relationship with somebody that everything is encapsulated in that one person. You want passion. You want understanding. You want someone who truly gets you. And you don't want to have to find that in friends and then have this person give you what you need physically. You know what I mean? You want to have this super relationship with this amazing person that really understands you and gets you. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, but the thing is that it seems like we've got to kind of put him to the side for a little bit, focus on your business, and then when he's like, wait a minute, where's Missy at? I mean, this is almost too logical, okay? He comes back around, and he's like trying to, what have you been doing? And it's like he's trying to get himself included. But the thing is, and it doesn't look like it's even taken you very long. When you've actually started to, you know, get back to the business and you've got clients and he's calling, you've got to figure out ways to squeeze this in, so that he's not sitting in the forefront, and then that's where you're going to find balance by things being imbalanced. Because you're going to see him trying, him working on it. It's like his efforts go back in, and he gets back to a place where he remembers how awesome you are and how important you are and how much he misses you. And like I said, it sounds almost too much like common sense, but it is.
Right, so it's just really about me focusing on myself, just really doing all that. And I will be okay with the life coaching, right? I mean, I know that's where my heart is. I just get scared about it, but
Well, that's just what you've got to do. I mean, no one should tell you, and I'm not trying to sound acquiescent, no one can tell you it's not going to work. How could somebody say, no, you should be probably working at McDonald's, because it's guaranteed to get a check. You know, no one can tell you to do that. You know, this is what you really, really, really want to do. And and you're good at it. You're really good at it. And you're actually pretty good when it comes to dealing with things in your life. It's just that when it comes to relationships, you know, we're dealing with other people who have different minds than we do, and we just cannot factor somebody in the equation until they're ready to be factored in on their own. It's hard to care about somebody. It's hard to see them in your life. It's hard to, you know, and sometimes it does start to take over, and it starts sitting in the forefront, and you just feel like crap because things aren't going well. And that's when you just have to say, you know what, I got to push this to the side, and I've got to focus on other stuff that makes me happy.
Right.
You know, the stuff that's really going to make me happy. Because the relationship stuff makes you happy too, but then there's other stuff that if the relationship is taken away, you still would be able to transcend that and find your happiness still.
Right.
Okay, so basically you're being told to cut it out, cut it off, just focus on your business, and then 2 steps later, here he comes.
Right.
And it doesn't, and if I made this into a calendar just so we can make this, you know, more of a prediction type thing, it looks like it's just around November, December time. But the thing is, if you don't do this, then you're just basically delaying it and delaying it and delaying it and delaying it.
Yeah. I hear you.
This is something that we have to remember. When we really love doing something, and a person loves us, they want to help. They want to help. You know, if you really love taking pictures and you want your stuff to, you know, go up in galleries or even be put on postcards, someone who cares about you is going to brag about your stuff and display your stuff and just pump you up and be your cheerleader.
Right.
They're proud of the things that you do. So just remember that.
Thank you so much.
All right, Missy. Thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening. Bill, is there anything you wanted to add?
No, I just wish you the best of luck. And
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to hand the show over to Bill for a minute, for a little bit. For a little while. And when he's done with some of his
songs, we're done with that.
And we've listened to another song, we're going to be talking to Gussie.
Gussie.
Yeah. So, what's on your mind today?
This and that, you know? Well, talking about the world changing, have we come very far? I believe that more people are waking up to what's going on, the truth in the world. I think there's a lot more people who are aware of what's going on, you know. But in some ways, I think the powers that be are matching our progress that we're trying to make, you know, by bringing in new laws and regulations and restricting us to do what we want to do. But, for example, this article here is in the Daily Mail, which is a mainstream newspaper. It just shows you that the truth is finally getting out. You know, it tends to, after quite a few years, you know, it does make its way. Scientists working on the most authoritative study on climate change were urged to cover up the fact that the world's temperature hasn't risen for the past 15 years. A leaked copy of a United Nations report compiled by hundreds of scientists shows politicians in Belgium, Germany, Hungary, and the United States raise concerns about the final draft. Published next week, it is expected to address the fact that 1998 was the hottest year on record and world temperatures have not exceeded it, which scientists have so far struggled to explain. The report is the results of 6 years' work by United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is seen as the world authority on the extent of climate change and what is causing it, and which governments, including Britain's, base their green policies. But leaked documents seen by the Associated Press yesterday revealed deep concerns among the politicians about a lack of global warming over the past few years. Germany called for the references slow down in warming to be deleted, saying looking at a time span of just 10 or 15 years was misleading and they should focus on decades or centuries, which is fair enough. Hungary worried the report will provide ammunition for deniers of man-made climate change. Belgium objected to using 1998 as a starting year for statistics, as it was exceptionally warm, makes the graph look flat, and suggested using 1999 or 2000 instead to give a more upward pointing curve. But there you go. They've been exaggerating and saying, you know, climate change, global warming, you know, when in fact there's ice caps are growing every year. There's actually more of a global cooling. And I'm pleased to see the top rated comment, which has got 2,571 thumbs up, says the scam is laid bare. Actually, David Icke was saying this 10 years ago. So that's good. I'm glad to see that's there, the top comments, you know.
Well, remember, you know, how what I've been saying for a while about the Earth, about how the Earth is always going to be okay. It's us that's not going to be okay.
Yeah,
the Earth is always going to be able to fix itself and to recover itself, even if that means getting rid of the problem.
I think you made that reference after we watched After Earth.
Yeah, but I mean, but I've been saying that for a while.
Going to say it was a good film, but I won't.
Why not? It is a good film.
People are outraged by this next news article. As research topics go, it has to be one of the most bird-brained. A university has received a £2 million of taxpayers' cash to investigate how humans I've got on with chickens over the past 8,000 years. The Arts and Humanities Research Council awarded the grant to a 3-year study led by Bournemouth University called Cultural and Scientific Perceptions of Human-Chicken Interactions. What? But critics have reacted with fury that public money is going to such a project while funds for the disabled and sick are being cut. Some of the cash will even be used to send students to live in Cuba and Ethiopia to learn about how people there interact with chickens. The study begins in January and will involve archaeologists, PhD students, geneticists, and anthropologists. Anyway, I'm going to read any more of that. It's just ludicrous.
Well, you know, speaking of chickens, this is totally off subject. My mother, you know how sometimes she's known to come to us with things that are not quite outlined correctly. But anyway, she was saying that she wrote a letter yesterday to, I think it was Congress. Basically, there's supposed to be this thing where they're trying to speed up the amount of time that people have to interact with the chickens that they're cleaning for sale. They want people to be able to, like, you know, do whatever they need to do, pluck them and all that kind of stuff under a certain amount of time. Chicken, when you're going to kill chickens and you're prepping them for sale.
Oh, sorry.
For food. They're trying to speed up.
Oh, you're going to pluck them.
How do they pluck the chicken?
No, it's never mind. Continue.
Now you have me wondering what the world your head is thinking about.
Thought I said you.
Okay. Anyway, so you know, one of the people that works at one of those chicken places was like, they hardly give us enough time anyway, and so the thing is we're going to be getting a whole bunch of. Probably there's no telling what we're going to be getting if people have to only interact with the chicken for like 45 seconds. And not only that, but the health of the people that are doing these repetitive movements, you know, of whatever it is that they have to do to you know, strip them and do whatever, you know what I mean? So they're trying to make it faster.
Repetitive chicken studies. They're going to get RCI, repetitive chicken injury.
Maybe.
So, just example of comments, talking about comments on articles and, you know, people not looking at the full picture and making assumptions, which you get a lot of, and it just makes me laugh because there's a video here on beforeitsnews.com, and it's about a mystery sea monster caught on deep sea camera. 2013. I'll post the link in the chat room in a moment so you can watch the videos. And it's like some weird blobby mass thing on there. And I don't know what it is, but the comment here says, wow, sure looks like a whale to me. Like, you know, and somebody said, looks like a whale, are you retarded? And they said, well, I didn't watch the video. I did look at the picture and it looks like it could be the head of a beluga whale, even a white a sperm whale. So I just they've just looked at the thumbnail or the video and gone, yeah, it's a whale, obviously. You know, it's just an example of people not... They didn't even watch the video. Jesus. Let me post that link in the chat room there because it's like a weird... I've seen one similar before, but you can have a look at that mass. Now, I do want to get on to reading out some of these... people's true paranormal tales because I didn't get a chance to do the week. But before I do, and there's a really good map here. I'll post this in the chat room as well. I'll also post them on the Facebook page, Swallow Broken Earth, if you want to check these out. A new map that plots out every reported Bigfoot sighting in North America for the last 92 years reveals some very interesting patterns, whether you believe in the mysterious beast or not. PhD candidate Josh Stevens mapped out of 3,313 possible Sasquatch reports since 1921, and people do seem to glimpse the hairy creature much more in some regions than the others. The map and the data collected by the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization show, for example, the Bigfoot has supposedly been spotted 3 times more often in Missouri than neighboring Kansas. I won't go on with that, but it's got a really good visual map there. I'll stick that in the chat room as well. I believe in Sasquatch.
That'd be a good t-shirt. He believes in you.
Yeah, he believes in you too, Sonny. So, there you go. That's a really good... I really like that map, actually. It's just so vibrant and awesome and just shows you where it's been spotted. You should check that out yourself there, that link, because that's pretty cool.
I think you posted the same link twice.
That's lies. Yes, I have done that. Sorry.
You just told me that was lies.
Yeah, sorry about that. Here we go.
Which part?
What? Yeah, that's right. So let me post that there, and I'll just nip over to the Broken Earth Facebook page where I can post these links as well, and then my mouse works. Maybe we could mention a few weird, spooky tales. What do you think about that?
I think that sounds absolutely what the show is about.
Did you really listen to an awesome song before we...
Let's listen to a song. Yeah, we're going to listen to a song, and we're going to come back and hear a story, and then we're going to take a caller, okay? And then if anybody, we do have quite a few people in the queue. We have people that are dropping out, people calling back, people dropping out, that sort of thing. So it's all over the place about who's going to really be next. But if anybody wants to get in line, try to hang on to the line. 347-215-8421 is the number to call in. And if something happens and it starts sounding weird and scrambly, just refresh, and you'll be brought right back to the screen. I mean, to the stream. To the screen. I said you'll be brought back to the screen. But anyway, let's listen to a song, and we'll be right back.
Hello?